This week, dun dun dun, on the episode, I am going to shatter a parenting myth that is making you more frustrated. That's right. You are currently believing in a myth that's making you super frustrated and you don't even know it.
Welcome to the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast with Sean and Jasmine Turner and sponsored by ParentEQ.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. I am so glad to have you here with me for this week's episode. It's gonna be awesome, I promise. Before we head into the episode, I do want to remind you of a couple little housekeeping items. First of all, I'm really excited because we are now putting out our monthly freebies for ParentEQ.com. If you haven't hopped on the website, you can jump on there and you can enroll into our subscription for the monthly freebie. Every month, you will get a PDF that's going to have some amazing tips about how to parent with emotional intelligence, how to overcome the feeling of overwhelm and become empowered as a parent, and also how to avoid exhaustion and get energized as a parent. So, all the tools that you need to become the parent that you know you can, but you're just too tired to do, right? In addition to launching the monthly freebies, I am so excited because we are starting something incredible and I cannot wait to share it with you. I'm just going to touch the tip of the iceberg today, but the idea is that we are going to start parent support groups. And what that looks like is almost like a little cohort. When my husband Sean was in school to become a therapist, he had a little group that he was part of, and they went through every class together and they got to know each other really well, and they were just a support to each other. They were all in the same boat, and they also had like a mentor who was further down the road than them assigned to their group so that they could ask them when they had questions and things like that. So this is exactly what I have always wanted to do. And now it's going to become a reality. In the next couple of months, we are going to launch parent support groups. And what you'll be able to do in those groups is just have a place to vent, have a place to get ideas, have a place to be validated when you need it. These groups will meet once a week virtually, and then will probably also allow you to connect other ways during the week, like when things come up, maybe through text or little message groups. So again, I'm so excited for those. If you are interested in being part of a parent support group, and by the way, they are going to be very small groups and they're going to be very specific. And that's the other thing that I really love about this format is I thought about creating a Facebook community, but right now I just feel like it's kind of impersonal. So I think these groups are going to help people feel like they can connect because they're going to be small enough. If you are interested in being part of one of these groups, feel free to send us an email at reallifeparentspodcast@gmail.com or just DM us at reallifeparentspodcast on Instagram or Facebook. We would love to be able to get you more information when that comes out. So thank you so much for your support so far. We are already a month and a half into our podcast and we've just gotten overwhelming support from so many people and have been able to meet and have as guests on the podcast some amazing, amazing women. And we're excited because we're going to have our first dad on pretty soon. So that's going to be fun. But this week you get to hear from me. And here's what you're going to get. This week, dun dun dun, on the episode, I am going to shatter a parenting myth that is making you more frustrated. That's right. You are currently believing in a myth that's making you super frustrated and you don't even know it. The crazy thing is that this myth has been perpetuated by the media and by everybody and by culture, but it's been proven wrong by science. So I'm like, why are people still believing that this is okay and that this is true and that this is a thing? I don't get it. And now I bet you're wondering what that myth is. Are you ready? It's the myth of multitasking. Okay, now it's not necessarily that the multitasking is a myth, but it's the myth that multitasking is good. Do you ever notice how people actually take pride in their ability to multitask? Like, I've even done it myself. And by the way, I'm an Enneagram 3. So that should be like my tagline is like, I can multitask like none other. And in the midst of that, I don't realize that I'm actually shooting myself in the foot. Seriously, multitasking, like I said before, has been proven by different scientific studies to be counterproductive and can actually hurt your brain, harm your cognitive skills and your cognitive functions. If you do not believe me about this, hop on Google and type in multitasking research, and you will see that I'm right. As you notice, I did not start out this episode with a story, and I normally do. And I don't really have a story. I have like a bunch of examples, but not really one story. As usual, Sean brings things to my attention that I am not aware of, which, by the way, is a good thing because as partners, we want to be able to help our spouse or our partner get a different perspective on what they're doing that's not working and what they're doing that's working, right? Like, that's a good thing. And I have to take a moment here and mention that it's been hard for me to take quote-unquote constructive criticism, but I'm starting to be more humble. I'm starting to be more receptive to it, and it's actually helping not just my parenting, but also my relationship with my spouse. So that's something to think about. And basically what was happening, I'll tell you I can't tell you a specific story. Okay, fine. I have parent fails every single week. I don't know about you guys, but I really do. If you're not failing, you're not parenting. That sounds so negative, but I really feel like you're going to have some hits and you're going to have some misses each week when you're parenting. Let me paint the picture for you. I was trying to get my children to bed. And as many of you who've been listening to this podcast know, I like to tidy up. I like to have a tidy house. I feel chaotic when it's chaotic in the house physically. And so I was trying to clean up clutter while barking commands to my children to brush their teeth and get their PJs on. Notice how I'm saying this in a pleasant voice. It was not pleasant when I did it. Anyhow, trying to get them motivated through any way possible to get ready for bed so we could start like tucking them in and then have a few moments of peace and quiet. And I know all of you cherish those moments just like I do. So I was trying to make it quick. But again, I didn't want to put them to bed and then go sit and clean. So I thought, ooh, I'm going to clean while I put them to bed. Well, as you can imagine, this was not working out so well. The kids weren't listening. They were kind of getting hyped up for some reason because nobody was there to really structure something. I was kind of just telling them like while I was cleaning and I don't feel like they really got the message. And then Sean popped his head in and said, you can't do two things at one time. It's impossible and you'll just get frustrated. And then he walked away. Now I will say he probably could have approached me in a slightly different way. But after I got through with that episode, I did realize he had a really, really good point. He even pulled out a Bible verse for me and told me, no man can serve two masters. Okay? So there's your truth right there. Like, it's all over the place. You see and hear that same thing. Like, it's not possible. So why would it be possible in parenting? So I just want you to think about that for a second. I want you to think of any time that you've been successful. And I'm talking about like quality, right? Quality level performance. And done two things at the exact same time. Now, I'm not saying that as moms, we can't squeeze things into the cracks. You know, we can't like take 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there and do something. But to actually literally simultaneously do two things at once, it's tough. It's tough. And it's pretty much impossible. And if it's not impossible, Your quality is just going to go down massively. Your quality is going to go down massively. And not only that, do you guys think that I probably did an okay job at cleaning up the clutter at that time? Yeah, I did, right? Because that was the easy thing. So I was kind of escaping to the easy thing to avoid the putting to bed, which was the harder thing. I'll be honest, that's a little secret I'm going to share with you. But the energy and the mood that it created, that I was wanting a certain result, but I wasn't willing to put in the focus and the effort on that result, was not good. It was bad vibes in the house. I was super frustrated. And guess who I needed to be most frustrated with, or should have been most frustrated with, or most disappointed in? Myself. Like, I don't use scapegoats. I've told you this before. Maybe in the moment I blame other things. But when I sit down and look at it, I know it was me. I made a choice and I was reaping the consequences. What you put out is what you'll get back. So I was not putting quality guidance into getting the kids ready for bed. And that came right back at me in a very poor execution of the bedtime routines. So I know some of you are sitting here going, well, if I can't multitask, like, how am I literally supposed to survive? I told you just a second ago, you can squeeze things in the cracks. But I just want to paint another picture for you that you've probably played out in your own house, a scene that has come to pass. And that is you in the kitchen, standing in front of the stove or doing whatever it is, around 4:30, many people call this the witching hour for the kids, around 4:35, trying to get dinner made. Okay? Raise your mental hand if you've been there. And then I want you to add in all those lovely elements of the kids trying to get your attention at the exact same time, and you trying to meet their needs at the exact same time, hence trying to serve two masters at the exact same time. And I want you to, in your mind, go back to a time like that, and I want you to look at yourself from the outside and see what your mood is like, your energy level, your emotions. Just recognize them. Were they where you wanted them to be? They were what they were, and that's fine. We can't go back and fix the past. But is that your ideal situation? And is that going to make you a less exhausted person? Probably not. You were probably in a frazzled state, even angry. It may have affected your entire evening. I know I've had some bad situations where I was using my energy in the wrong way and I was putting my focus on the wrong things, and it was a vacuum to my energy so much that I literally couldn't function the rest of the night. Or if I did, it was in a really grumpy way. Remember, as we always say, where your focus goes, your energy goes, right? Whatever you're focusing on will suck that energy away. So if you're focusing on frazzled state of being, trying to do two things at once, it's just going to take it and zap it right out of you. So what's your solution? Now, I hear you saying this, like, I don't have a choice. I can hear you saying it. Guys, I get it. I don't have a choice. Like, if I'm going to get anything done, I have to be able to do two things at one time. But again, I want you to think about that. I've said it twice already. I'm going to say it again. I'm not saying you can't squeeze things in. I'm not saying you can't, like, do one thing for 5 minutes and then another thing for 5 minutes. Some of us consider that multitasking. But if you look at it carefully, I'm talking about a different situation. But I do want to give you a few tips, because I do feel like, if not multitasking, what can you do to accomplish everything that you need to do in a day? And I'm going to give you some tips on how to do that, like real practical stuff that has worked for me. The first thing that I want to remind you is an old saying that I love so much. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Right, guys? Right? Everybody nod. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Sean always says to me, he says a lot of things to me. I say a lot of things to him too. Maybe he'll tell you those on his podcast, but he always says, don't set yourself up for failure. And it's usually because I already did set myself up for failure, but we're not going to go there. It's his way of reminding me. But don't set yourself up for failure. Don't start trying to clean and get that idea in your head that you've got to get that done or you're going to have a miserable night at the same time that you're trying to get the kids ready for bed. Don't plan that out. That's poor planning because it ain't going to work, guys. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Okay, so that's the first thing. To go into a little bit more detail about that, I can get granular for you guys who are list makers because I like my list too. I like me a list. And if you can and you're at a place where you can either the night before or the morning of, before it gets too hectic, sit down and even just write out what would make you happy that day. I know that sounds weird, but I'm dead serious. And don't write 20 things for heaven's sakes. Don't set yourself up for failure. Like, what if you just thought in your mind, if I got these 4 things done today, I would feel so good. Because if you have children that need attention and they're not one of those 4 things on the list, then I would say 4 is about reasonable because the other time you're going to be giving them your attention and it's going to be way more pleasant. It's not going to be like that energy sucking attention that you're going to be giving them because you're doing damage control. It's going to be calm, planned out attention, activities that are going to be pleasant. So make a list at the beginning of the day or the night before, like I said. And I don't know, I think for me, just realizing that I didn't have to do everything on my list in one day is huge. Is huge. And I'm a 3. I'm a type 3. If you are not an Enneagram type 3 and this doesn't resonate with you, don't worry about it. Maybe you are a different Enneagram type and what matters to you, what you value, is how you feel at the end of that day. So you could even write down, like, my goal is to feel like satisfied at the end of the day with what I've done, no matter what I've done. Just like my goal is a certain feeling rather than a certain action. Does that make sense? It's so important for you guys to know what your Enneagram type is or even just your personality type. I'm going to use Enneagram a lot in the podcast and so is Sean. So if you haven't figured it out, I totally recommend going there and figuring it out. You can click on our podcast that was, Sean did a little podcast with somebody and it talked about Enneagram. And in those show notes, you can look up the Enneagram site that we like to use that does a free test. Okay. So again, as a 3, I value tasks. In doing things. As a different Enneagram type, you might value that you feel good at the end of the day. And all of those things need planning. You can't just shoot from the hip when you're a mom. Sorry to break it to you. If there's anything that being a parent teaches somebody, it would be planning and it would be patience. That would be another one. I guess there's 2 things. But planning makes a huge difference. A little bit of planning goes a long way. A little bit of planning goes a long way. I know it's super intimidating for people who like to fly by the seat of their pants and who are impulsive and like to have fun and be adventurous. That would be a type 7 Enneagram. I get it. You get cringed out when you're like, oh, I don't want to make a list. That's annoying because then I'm pinned down to that list. Okay, I get it. But what if you just like said 2 or 3 things? And if I told you that if you did it and promised you that it would make you have more energy at the end of the day, would you do it? Because it will. I've experimented. I've had many failed experiments. When I say I've experimented, that means I've had many failed experiments. So you get to learn from my mistakes. Anyhow, so that's the first tip I have for you is plan it out. Okay. The second tip that I have for you is lower your dang standards. I'm just going to say it right now. Lower your standards. I referred to that in the previous point, but lower your standards for what you're going to be able to accomplish in a day, maybe compared to what you used to be able to do or what you think the perfect mom is going to do. And I actually shouldn't even say lower your standards because what I really mean is align with standards that resonate with you. Don't align with standards that are for somebody else. This is part of our whole philosophy about being self-aware and about knowing yourself first. If you don't know yourself and know what your needs are, you're not going to be able to create standards or goals that work for you and that are going to help you feel a a sense of satisfaction at the end of the day, or a sense of calm at the end of the day. It's just not going to work. You're going to feel disappointed in yourself. You're going to be resentful that you didn't get done the stuff you wanted to. You're going to resent like your husband or your partner or your kids or whoever prevented you, quote unquote, from getting that stuff done. But if you create standards that are realistic and attainable, then you're going to be able to have that calm at the end of the day because those were made for you. Parents, you have needs. Figure out what they are. Sometimes it's just one or two small things that you need to do during the day to make you a happy person. And if you're running around doing the 17 things that make somebody else a happy parent, because they're a different person and they're a different parent than you, then you're never going to feel satisfied. You're always going to feel exhausted. You're always going to be overwhelmed and you're always going to be frustrated. So get to know yourself and make some goals that work for you. And I don't even mean day-to-day goals. I mean like overarching things that you value, right? Number three, give yourself a break. And when I say give yourself a break, I don't mean like a time break, although that's good too. I mean cut yourself some slack. Have compassion for yourself. Show yourself some grace. Be okay if you mess up and be willing to stop in the middle of something and say, oh dang, I'm trying to multitask and I know that's going to be a massive fail. So I can stop right now. Because you could go down with the burning plane or the sinking ship. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be pretty. I've tried it. But when you are self-aware enough to say, ooh, I'm doing too many things at once right now, and I need to stop and focus. Remember, you guys, it's all about the pause. It's all about the pause. This week on social media, I shared a quote. It was one of those aha moments that I personally had. You're not going to find answers in the panic. You're going to find answers in the pause. You're going to find answers in the calm. If you are super overwhelmed because you've actually committed to do a lot of things, then you're going to have to take a good, hard look at how you're doing it. And you're going to have to be willing to pivot when you need to pivot and be flexible when you need to be flexible. Throw things out if you need to throw things out. Say no more to outside commitments that are sucking away your energy. Take a little inventory, guys. What could you remove from your life right now that would allow you to have a little bit more calm, that would help you be a better parent if you removed it? It's okay to change in the middle of something. It's okay to drop out of something that you've started if it's detrimental to your health, to your mental health, guys, your mental health. You know how it works. It's contagious. When you are not at your best, your kids are going to feel it and they're going to react accordingly. All right, so now that I've preached and I've been up on my soapbox, I'm going to get down and we're going to review what I talked about, okay? First of all, throw out the myth that multitasking works. Is multitasking possible? Yes. Does it work? No, not really. Does it make you more frustrated? Usually. Does it make you more exhausted? Most of the time. So what do you do if you can't multitask? How do you get done what you need to get done? How do you deal with the overwhelm of thinking about tomorrow? So let's go over the three things I talked about. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Decide what you need to do ahead of time. Number two, create standards that are for you, not for somebody else. Standards that revolve around what your values are, not around what somebody else's values are. Okay. And number three, don't be afraid to pause and to pivot when you need to. Don't be afraid to change what you're doing if it's not working. Swallow your pride and do it. I promise it will have much, much better results in the end. All right, so that is it. I'm going to wrap up, first of all, by thanking you guys for joining me. I love being able to get on here and share the little tidbits that I learn. And we love having you on the show. So if you're interested in coming on the show as a guest with Sean, please send us an email at reallifeparentspodcast@gmail.com. And again, I want to remind you to get a hold of us if you're interested in being part of a parent support group. In the near future, you can email us that way as well, or DM us, either one's fine. And last of all, if anything on this podcast episode resonated with you and you feel like it would be valuable to somebody you know, please share it with them. You never know what difference a little message is going to make in somebody's life. You never, never know. And along with that, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love a rating and a review. Those always help us be able to get this information to more parents who are looking for it. Some of them are alone and they don't know where to go. And that's why we're here. Like, we figure if we can put our voice out there, we know there's lots of voices out there, but maybe what we say will resonate more with somebody than what somebody else says. And that'll help them in their parenting. Again, thank you so much for joining us. And as always, here's to intentional and authentic parenting. See you later.
Last but not least, the advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.